The one is that, look, your life is just a your nonsense life. So we'll extract the few good things remaining inside your soul, put it inside your offspring. Maybe they will be able to bless somebody. Now, the point I'm making is that the man went to a land of opportunity. And he showed up with what? Nothing. To the child of God, there's no land of opportunity. You are a person of opportunity. You were blessed by God. The Bible says you were blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Like I like to say all the time, your life is not an accident. You were born on purpose. There's a reason why God fashioned you and made you the way you are. And listen to me, as long as you follow him, it's not possible in life that your light will not shine. It's not possible. Listen, one of the things that you must bear in mind, all right, as a child of God, to help you in life, listen to this, you will never be poor, you will never lack, listen to me, you will not die young. Take those things for granted. Are you getting what I'm saying, please? Listen, my children will not lack. That one I'm sure of. And it makes it easy for me not to worry about tomorrow. That's what the word of God does for us. That's what the promises of God, that's what they do. They give you assurance. They put you at rest so you can do what you are supposed to do. Do you get the point? So they know what happened to my children. I know what will happen to them. You want me to tell you? Goodness and mercy, it will follow them all their lives. Look, I say every time, there are many reasons why I do what I do. There are many reasons. One, I love God, but is it that I love God thing? It doesn't have too much meaning. I'm sorry, I hope you will understand. It is not as if you shouldn't love God, but God said, don't say you love me when you have not loved the person that you can see. So when you want to define the love of God, all right, you put it on people. If you love God, it will manifest that you want, like the man I was telling you yesterday, he said he has three things he wants to do on this earth. None of them was called, I want to love God. So the first thing, he wants to help young men develop. The second thing, all right, he wants to alleviate poverty as much as possible. And the third thing, he wants each person to be able to own his own house as much as God gives him the ability. That's what is called love of God. So what am I saying? I say, I love God, yes, one of the reasons why I do what I do. All right, but let me give you some of the earthly manifested reasons why I do what I do. One of the reasons is because I want my children to be blessed. Do you hear what I said? One of my reasons is what? I want my children to be blessed. I don't want it to happen that my children are not blessed. So I will serve God even if he breaks my back. Are you getting my point? I will obey him even if he pains my flesh. I want my children to be blessed. But I'm not going to do it by, you know, okay, let us now buy stocks. You hear what happened in the Nigerian banking sector yesterday? One of the five top banks or six top banks in Nigeria, they dissolved the whole board, sacked all the MDs. You know what that does to share prices? I should go and share today to nosedive. Somebody asked me on the phone, a friend of mine, said, what do you make of that? I said, it's called all flesh is grass. It's called what? All flesh is grass. It means you can't trust in anything. What am I going to explain? Listen, in life, you will never beg. You will never like that. Hear an amen. I'm saying assuredly, if your heart is focused on doing the will of God in life, then most certainly it shall be well with you. Now, if you understand that, then you can really do what is right. You establish your identity according to the will of God without being afraid of failure. You're supposed to be a teacher. They told you that they don't ever become rich. All that nonsense. I remember then when I told some people that I'm finishing my residency training, I'll go and start working in the university. They look at me like, this guy doesn't want to be rich in his life. But believe me, there's a friend of mine, he calls me to talk. I said, don't worry, I'm always getting richer. I said, I'm always getting richer. And I don't blame them, physically speaking. Then those were the days professors were going home shortly before that time with 6,000, 8,000 naira a month. It went up to me 12,000. And these were professors. You now wake up and say you want to go and teach again. Ah, they will look at you that, are you a glutton for punishment? They look at you and say, look, are you a glutton for punishment? What is wrong with this man? Because they think that your supplies, listen, when we say our supplies come from heaven, we don't mean that God rains, you know, money from heaven. Listen, what we mean is that when we need stuff, God will arrange events to fit exactly what we are supposed to have. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? Yes, that's what it means. It means God will arrange events. Listen to me. Your life, oh God, I don't know why I just feel like saying that one today. Your life, in your life, you will never fail. Listen, you will not beg for food. Listen, it won't happen that when you are 50, you are still calling people, begging them to lend you money to pay your children's school fees. It won't happen. It won't happen. The path of the just is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day. Your light will shine brighter. Please get that. Settle it in your mind. There is nothing on earth that can hinder you. I don't know how many times I have to say this. There's nothing. There's nothing on the earth that can hinder you from succeeding. There's nothing on the earth that can hinder you from prospering. That is a matter of fact. That is the will of God. Why am I saying that? When you have understood that, then you can wake up and say, good, now that I know that, let me settle and decide what I'm supposed to be. Am I supposed to be a preacher? Then let me preach. Let me be known for what I am. In life, you must have an identity. Paul will say, Paul, an apostle, he was known for it. He was known by it. People, when they thought about apostleship, their mind went straight to Paul. When the name Paul was spoken, instantly their mind went to certain places. They said, this is what this man does. And as you are growing in life, as a young woman, one of the things that you must first establish for yourself is a name, an identity by which people recognize you. So that when they want something done, they may not be near you. As long as they say that thing, your name pops up in their hearts. I hope you get my point. All right, that's just an introduction. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right. The first thing I'm going to start, what I've just explained is just to help us to understand something physically. All right. But then let's bear in mind, identity is on two levels, spiritual and then the outward earthly one. And I said the more important one is what? The spiritual one. And that is what I'm going to develop in details. And that's what I'm going to begin with. Now, before I even go into that, one of the first things I want us to understand is the sources of identity. Where do we get our identity from? Because, let me say this again, if you don't recognize your own person, nobody will recognize you. Are you following my point? Let me say it again. If you don't know who you are, now knowing who you are is different from pride. Do you get my point? Should I say that again? Knowing who you are is different from being proud. Pride and recognizing your identity, they are two different things. That was why Jesus never was ashamed to say things that people thought was a matter of pride. For example, he will tell you, I am the light of the world. Now, listen, that's big. All right? Either you are the light of the world or you are crazy. If you make that kind of statement, either you are the light of the world or you are out of your mind. I am the bread that came down from heaven. Your fathers rejoiced to see my day. Listen to me. If that guy was not really the savior of the world, they should have stoned him to death. There are statements you should not make. Are you getting my point? A man wakes up and decides that, look, without me, you can do nothing. You are either the savior of these people, or you should see a doctor. No, listen, there's no other way. The problem is when you are not their savior. Do you understand my point? Yet you are telling them, without you, they can do nothing. That's why Paul said, each person, Romans chapter 12, should not think highly of himself. What's the next line? Than he ought to think. That there is a level that you are supposed to think of yourself. And we'll discuss as we go on how to think of yourself correctly. But the point is that you must think of yourself in a particular way. So knowing your identity is different from pride. Pride is when you think of something as having come out from yourself because you are better than other people. Do you understand my point? Humility is knowing your place in life and living like you are there. Do you get what I'm going to explain? That's humility. That you see, being able to appropriately rate yourself. Yes, that's humility. It's not to think of yourself less than you really are. Oh, please, I hope you are following my point. What I'm saying is very, very important. Now, so I was saying that it's not a matter of pride. So Jesus will say confidently, I am the light of the world. You are supposed to know what exactly that you are. All right? That's what we're talking about, the sources of identity. How do people determine exactly what they are? Let me say this to you again. We read from Acts chapter 19. This is very important. The way life responds to you, let me say clearly, the way life responds to you is dependent upon your perception of yourself. Let me say one more time. Life will respond to you according to your own perception of yourself. Now, let me say, qualify that. Your true perception, not your false perception. If you wrongly perceive yourself, what you will meet is failure. I like the way Bishop Oyedepo used to say it. He says, like wearing an oversized cap that covers your face. You can't see straight. You can't see properly. Is that okay? Now, please, but having put that one aside, if you don't understand who you are properly, life will not give to you what you are supposed to have. I was discussing with my wife today. Or was it yesterday? Anyway, we're always talking. My wife and I were always talking. I think I know why. We live in the same room. That must be the reason, all right? Now, we're describing some things, all right, about people. I don't know how I have a friend. One day I told a fellow that if I tell him that, look, do this, he said, Pastor, you know I don't have money now. Now, my friend is a highly placed professional. Let me summarize it like that. Who earns exactly the same amount of money I earn. Naira for naira. And a little bit more, depending on how things are. But let's leave those extras here and there. All right? Me too, I get a little bit here and there. So let's put everything together. Let's say we generally earn about the same amount of money. But the song I hear from his mouth all the time is, I don't have money. If he sees me, maybe, let's assume for example now, maybe I'm wearing a new tie and the tie is fine. Say, ah! He calls me pastor. Say, ah, pastor, your tie is fine, though. I say, ah, it's very nice, though. I say, you should buy something like this. Say, ah, you know I don't have money now. So one day I told him, I said, come. This year I don't have money. I hear it like 8 times in one day. And for you as a child of God, your confession is your possession. I said, I hope you understand that. That you are rendering yourself poor by constantly telling me I don't have money. The more you say it, the more you yourself hear it. The more you hear it, the more you believe it. And may I not say amen to you, I don't have money. Let me not help you, because if two of you shall agree. He say, okay, it's true. You stop saying it. I say, you better stop saying it. I'll tell you the truth about life. I told you everything has value. Faith is the greatest wealth that I personally have. Do you hear what I said? I, Banky, my greatest possession is my faith. Now, I don't mean, that's not a philosophical statement. That's not a feel-good statement. That's a real statement. I feel it every day. I live it every day. I walk by it every day. A lot of people think I have plenty money, more than I really have. But believe me, I'm a favored man. And a man who is not afraid of tomorrow. I believe very solidly that sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Therefore, I spend the amount of money that people who have 4 times what I have spent. People think I'm on their side. They don't know. My faith makes up for the balance. What do I mean? You are afraid of tomorrow. I'm not. You have laid up your treasure for your children's education. Me, I haven't. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. So if you and I get 50,000 naira, you take 25,000 naira to lay off for something, take another one to lay off for another, you have to build a house in a village. I don't give a damn. I don't start building a house in any village until I have money to build it in 12 months. So Pastor Baba, what are you going to do? Listen to me. This is where, that's where my faith is. That's what my faith is. My faith is that one day I will start building January 1st. By December 31st, I pack in. And it will be the most beautiful house you have ever seen. Now, I am not afraid that it will not happen. Did you hear what I said? I am not afraid that it will not happen. I said, that is what is called favor. I said, I have favor that grace is multiplied towards me. I don't know whether you get, but what I say? Grace is what? Multiplied towards me. And I expect it every day. And I live like it. Therefore, a man come and say, you know I don't have money. Now listen to me. There are statements you don't hear from my mouth. And therefore, God honors me and blesses me. And it's one of his joys to glorify his son. I don't know whether I get the point. The problem God has with a lot of us is that we don't give him the cause to make we don't give him the cause to be happy, that he might pour glory upon us. We are too afraid. I told my friend, it's enough. Stop telling me I don't have money. Do you realize you and I don't even think? You know, we start making excuses for other people's blessings. You start accruing. I mean, a man saw me once. You know, I had the proofs of our book from the press with me. Those are our tiny books. Prophesy, the righteousness of God. Those small, small. I was producing in a hurry then. So I was bringing up from my car. He said, okay, I got you today. I said, about what? Now I know where your money is coming from. Were it not for real righteousness of God, I would have shot him. Except, of course, I didn't have a gun. All right? What do I mean by that? To print those books at that particular point in time, I had to pray. Now, you don't have a mind. That God will return my money quickly because I didn't have it. Now, listen now. Because you know the way it is. The first books we printed, the law of life, here on purpose, and the blessing. Number one, we paid for 1,000 copies each of three books. We got a total of 2,300 or 2,400 copies or so. I still paid the money complete. Of the ones we got, a lot of them were poorly printed. We were overcharged. Well, we paid more than would have been fair. And on top of all of that, we couldn't even sell them. I mean, people need to know you to buy your book. So we have sold some, and we have recovered. We had recovered some money. Not much. A little bit. And I said, I'm not putting my money into printing. That first set, I put every cobble into it myself. I'm not putting my money into printing more books. But I wanted to go for a convention. And I said, these books will bless my brethren. To have the four new mini books printed, I needed to put 50,000 naira extra. And listen, it wasn't nice. I didn't feel good about it. I felt like God losing. You suppose, you know, at least, you know, it's not like we're making money from this. Just return money so we can do some more things. Now, listen. But God was kind. God was kind. Of the new books that we sold, we printed, we sold exactly 50,000 naira worth in about 1 month. And then the sales shut down again. Listen, God ensured that he just returned my money like I requested him to. Now, but this was what I was doing when a man walked up and said, now I see where your money is coming from. And you know, thank God I'm not working for man. Otherwise, that denial for stop to the work. That this thing that's draining me, the one I put in, is still locked in there. And I never really got it out again. What are you telling me? Why? Because he looked, he said, oh, God, you see the shine, your money must be coming from somewhere. You want to know the truth? I'm a blessed man. That has nothing to do with financial resources. I told him, I said, I'm a favored man. My favor has material value. Please, I'm bringing out an issue here. It's how you identify yourself that life responds to you. You go around bowing down your head like you're a pauper. You know, I'm an African now. You know, in Africa, we are poor. In Nigeria, we are poor. Listen to me. May you never see poverty. Did I hear an amen? Mm-hmm. You have not seen poverty. I was telling somebody that, look, this one, you know, you heard me talk about Muhammad Yunus and the work he did in the Grameen Bank. And I said, it can't work in Enugu. He said, why? I said, the depth of poverty is handling does not exist here. The money is lending people and they are rejoicing over it. Beggars make it every day in Nigeria, in Enugu. I'm not joking about it. Okay, let me not even sound as if I'm being superfluous. Okay, let's leave that. But one thing I'm sure of is in a week, the beggars make it. So you never see poverty. You know, I'm a poor person. Poor my foot. There are statements you don't hear from my mouth. The days I was earning 5,000 naira a month when I didn't used to go anywhere because it was expensive to go around anyhow. You know that. To stay in my house most of the time. Yet, I remember. No, I'm telling you the truth. God is my witness. When people say, how are you? My answer always was, life is good. And LG had not begun to sell in Nigeria at that time. Before LG began to shout, life is good, Banky used to say, it was my answer to people. Life is good. Went to wear decent shirts, we had to buy them second hand. My answer to everybody was, life is good. I told my friends, look at the phone you are using, 3310. How will your patient respect you? I don't know what I get my friends. See, as you, I said, even thief won't steal this one from your hand. He said, Pastor, you know I don't have money. I said, you tell me this thing so many times. He said, Pastor, are you talking about showing off with phone? That's not the point. You can't even program your agenda, your program on a phone. This is 2009. And you're supposed to be a specialist. What does this say of your information level? He said, you know I don't have money. My friend, please stop telling me you don't have money. I'm tired of hearing it. I told my wife, I said, you won't believe that this man and I are on the same level, the same scale. We earn the same amount of money every month. What am I saying? That's how life responds to you, how you see yourself. God taught that me that one long ago. It began from the day I read Isaiah chapter 6 verse 12. It said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Even when I couldn't see it, I believed it, and I still believe it till now. And that is why I fully understand what it meant when they say sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. A lot of people go around like beggars and paupers in times because they are laying up treasure for tomorrow. They are putting it in a place where thieves break in and steal. Thieves are on to break in and steal. There's no thief that can break and steal anything from me that I can't recover from immediately. I know what I'm saying. It's not because I have so much money, but because for me, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I remember those people say, lay up my money, it's much more. You'll be able to buy this car. I said, after how long? This is real suffering. I said, a car is supposed to be pleasure. How do I go through pain to arrive at the point of pleasure? By the time you add the pain and the pleasure, you're back to zero. I said, no. I said, when I will have gone through all of this, and the thing were to catch fire, what's going to happen? I'll start crying. As God is my witness, if my car catches fire today, I will not cry. That's how I live my life. Life responds to how you identify yourself. I said, no, I'm not a poor man. I'm not a poor man. I don't care who my father was or who my grandfather was, where I come from, where I don't come from. I told the story several times. And God, look, it's such a beautiful illustration. That's why I keep on telling the story. Then I went to the American embassy. People say, well, pack money in your account, pack money in your account. I say, that's an insult. I'm not packing money in any account. I'm not begging you. When I gave the ladies my paper, she saw my bank balance. She folded her hands and exhaled like, wow. She did like this. I said, God, please understand. I'm not lying to you what I'm telling you. This was a woman who had been denying everybody visas in front of us. I said, what is the problem? God is my witness. I said, what's the problem? She said, your balance is too low. And I remember, as God is my witness, what I told her. I said, you asked me whether it was a salary account. And I said, yes. I earned the money through it and I spend it. I said, I only brought it here to show you that I work. She looked me. I said, if you are wondering who's going to pay for the trip. I told you before, it's a sponsored trip. Who's sponsoring? I felt like, I said, don't people read the forms to tell us to fill? I gave her the papers again. It's sponsored. It's a course I'm going for, fully paid for. Costing the people, between the sponsors and my CMD, they were giving me $4,500. How much money else do I need? Grant the visa, my money will appear in my account tomorrow. The woman looked at me, we talked after a while. I said, okay, come back and collect the visa on Tuesday. I said, fine. I said, after I announced, I said, look, let's tell you the truth. We've been looking at you since. He said, so you are the one that's been killing everybody. No, I'm serious. We now began to chat about it. She now made a statement. She said that, well, you know, there's no big deal about it, actually, if you are genuine. He said, you can see it's not difficult if you are genuine. So I looked at her and said, how do you know I'm genuine? It was a question I asked. She didn't have an answer. She just said, well, I guess I just believe you. Yes, you have to believe me, because from my soul is radiating the confidence of God. I didn't come here as a beggar. The man walked in before me. 4 million naira he put in his bank account. The woman asked him a simple question. He said, you said you were a civil servant. Where do you get 4 million naira from? Well, you know that one brother accidentally paid 70,000 naira for Kingdom World Ministries into my private account. I would have gone with an account balance of like 5,000 naira in one of my accounts. And I didn't care. Plus the accidental put and plus everything together. My balance not cross 200k. What am I trying to explain? I said simply, that's what I'm trying to explain to you. I said, number one, I'm not a beggar. That's from number one. I'm not going to appear before anybody like, help me now. You know, without you, I can do nothing. God said, I am God and there is none else. You know what that means? It means America is not God. I am God and there is none else. It means UK is not God. I am God and there is none else. It means Australia is not God. South Africa is not God. There is no country that is God. Therefore, I won't worship any other God. This is the time that Nigerians say, kill at LK Christians. They treat Nigerians anyhow. I said, they will treat you anyhow. Have you ever seen a beggar in the morning and say, good morning, sir? Think about it for a second. Most beggars on the road, they are older than you. No, so. How many of them have you stopped and said, good morning, sir? He will come to you and Abba Musa and say, excuse me, and you walk up us. And if he's disturbing too much, you wind down your window, use your left hand to hand him the 20 naira note. And you're not looking at him. He says, thank you. You don't acknowledge the thank you. Do you know why? He's a beggar. The Bible says it clearly. All that Lazarus wanted from the rich man's table was what? Crumbs. And that's what beggars get. Crumbs. It's real people that life gives substance to. Are you getting my point? You don't want crumbs, you get crumbs. This is the point I'm making. I'm a child of God. Are you getting my point? I'm an anointed child of God. God has a purpose for my life. I've never been a beggar. I will not be a beggar. If I'm not adding value to your life, don't call. I won't come back to the place. Sometimes I bother on being arrogant. Sometimes my wife will tell me, relax now. Because there was a time I said, if you come late, I lock you out. Most pastors are begging you to come. It's not in my character. I have never been. Look, listen, my friend, if I'm not blessing you, why should you come? And if I'm blessing you, why should I beg you? Think about it for a second. If I'm not blessing you, what are you doing here? I mean, it's not right. I'll be wasting your time. And if I'm begging you, why should I beg you? If I'm blessing you, why should I beg you? No, that's it. That's it. Only I remember a friend of mine, when I first started working in Enugu, I did a bit of private practice for a while and I stopped. And I stopped because of the time involved and all of that. And one of my friends was, my colleagues. He said, okay, yeah, he wants to patronize my private practice. And what would be the cut in the business he brings for me? I told him simply, I don't do cut business. I put my excellence into my work. If you find somebody else that will do it better than me, go there. I won't use a percentage of what I take to entice you. I must be good. If I'm good enough, come. If I'm not good enough, go somewhere else. I told him flat, I don't do cut business. When you go around cowering inside you, that's how the devils won't leave you alone now. All the people are chasing witches around. Witches can never leave them alone. Have you ever seen a man who came to testify? Praise the Lord. Up to the year 2003, witches used to disturb me. But after I prayed, by the time we finished breaking the fast in December, the witches stopped. Have you ever seen that? No. The witches they cast out 2003 is still with them 2009. The demons they were chasing 10 years ago is still being chased every day. They constantly chase the devil away. Why? Because in their spirits, they are not victorious. In their spirits, they are under. And listen, even people that Jesus cast out demons out of, the demons sometimes come back. It doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't know how to cast out demons. He said, how do I know? Jesus himself said it. When you cast out a demon from somebody, he said, the spirit will go around, driveway, finding no rest. You go and check whether the house is still available. That's why. But Jesus said something confidently. The prince of this world is coming. And he has nothing in me. It was a confident statement. He knew what he was saying. He was not in doubt concerning what he was saying. Life responded to him according to the knowledge of his identity. That was how life responded to him. And that's what I want to teach in this season. Because there are places people get their identity from. There's a true place. Or there are true places you get identity from. And there are the false places. Your source of identity, number one, is the knowledge of your origin and your relationship with God. People try to get their identity from what kind of things, how much money I have. You know that kind of thing? There are preachers, you know, it's very funny. They want to get their identity from who ordained them to ministry. I've seen it before. And I look at him like, okay, so you were ordained by so and so person. How has that affected you? Do you not get my point? What can I see now to show me that this is where you were ordained? We'll discuss that next time. The true source of identity. Where am I? So because you can, if you go, there are people who go, you've seen that kind of joke before. People want to use title. No title. There was one man who used to work in my hospital. one of my senior colleagues. His name was Professor Doctor Doctor. Some of you know who I'm talking about. If you are normal, how do you bear that kind of title? Professor Doctor Doctor. Because you lack confidence in yourself. You want to pass up. Like I got one stupid joker's mail a few days ago, offering to award me a doctorate, and that doctorate, honoris causa, you know, honorary doctorate degree, for my contribution to human society and all of that. I say, you a thief. You don't even know my name. The general overseer. Kingdom World Ministries. That's not my ministry anyway. Kingdom World Ministries. Of course, I needed to pay 200,000 naira. Now, I told my wife, yesterday we're discussing. I said, do you know that people who will pay? They will pay. They want to bear the title Reverend Doctor because you don't have a word in your mouth. Shakespeare said, roses called by any other name will still smell nice. Call me Joker Janky. I will still bless you with the word of God. Don't call me Pastor Banky. Call me Joker Janky. I'm serious. It won't change what I'm going to say when I get to certain places. You're following the point I'm making. You understand? You want to sell me an honorary doctorate degree. It's those who don't know what they are doing. You sell such things to. Forget, even though I didn't even have the natural title, I don't need it. I don't need it. Those are the sources of identity that are false. People want to go and grab title that's not their own. Pentecostal people are very funny. If you have a word, bless somebody, forget the title. Excuse me. And I call you Archbishop or whatever. For your information, in the Bible, the word bishop meant deacon. It didn't mean the overseer of many people. So, no, I'm not angry with title. But if you're a small boy, you're a small boy. Title of bishop has not elevated you. It hasn't. Someone born on TV one day with oversized jacket. No, I'm serious. Two rings on his right hand and one on his left. I can't remember whether I had the Christ in by Jericho or not. I can't remember. But he was bouncing up and I said, who's that? They said, Bishop. I said, Bishop what? This boy is not going to even grow up before they collect title. A lot of those things, not all. I'm not saying titles are bad, alright? Titles sometimes they are supposed to describe what you are. Do you understand my point? So that when if I enter a place, they say this is the chief of army staff. Instantly I accord him the respect, alright, that goes with his office. That's what it's supposed to be. That's what confused people do when they don't have confidence in themselves and they have not yet established a true identity. They don't know what God has made them to be. They want to bring down their identity from the nonsense titles they bought with money. But listen, there is a place where you get a title that is real. That's what I'm coming to. A title that is real. And listen, that real one, all right, it reverberates in the realm of the spirit. So much that demons will hear your name. And they will say, Jesus will personally recognize. But this man, we have heard of the troubles he has caused us on this earth in demolishing our kingdom and handing him over to his Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you should be going for. Are you getting my point? And if you don't identify that, listen. I like the way Miles Monroe said it. If you don't, there's a way he said that if you don't know who you are, other people will give you their own descriptions. And you must not let that happen in your life. So you don't die as a temptation to another person. I hope you've gotten my point today.